Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to celebrate this season of Advent and dimensions of it so that we can lay hold of the Word of God, lay hold of God's promises to us, lay hold of the reality of what the Lord has accomplished for us. The more we know it, the more we internalize it, believe it, the more our hearts, minds will be changed, transformed into the image of the beloved Son of God. And the graces that happen, that we see so abundant in the lives of the saints, would surface in us, would be stirred in us, so we can walk with the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Now, we know very well that at times we feel like we're not near that. You know, it's difficult, and that the main experience of daily life is different. It's filled with discouragement and frustration and anger and a whole set of other kinds of emotions and attitudes and dispositions that can dominate our life. And this is right where the enemy wants us to stay, because never forget, he has a narrative, he has a dialogue he wants us to be living in. He has a storyline for your life and my life that keeps us flat, discouraged, and hopefully, I mean, his strategy is to steal hope and confidence, what we've been talking about all week, to steal what belongs to us, or to flatten it in such a way that it just seems like a distant, far-off thing that doesn't really impact my life right now, and that I mainly have an experience of kind of narrowness and shadows and difficulty and disappointment and the rest. But what the Lord wants for us, and what this year can be for you in the Lord, in this liturgical year, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how bad our politics get, no matter how confused our economy gets and how stressful it is, that as the nations are stressed, we can actually walk in peace. But it's something we have to fight for. It's something we have to reach out for and take hold of. It's not something that just automatically happens. Faith is an engagement in trust in God and God's word. It's exercising mind, heart, and will toward the will of God. It's washing our minds in the Word of God. It's strengthening ourselves in the sacramental life. It's engaging in the mission of the church and living the life of the kingdom now. There's various passages that, you know, the whole Bible's full of encouraging stuff and challenging stuff, but there are different prayers that St. Paul, St. Peter, even the Lord himself prayed that are meant to feed us and give us a perspective. And they pray that the prayers that they're praying on our behalf so that we can come into the full storehouse of what the Lord has given us. And friends, when that happens to us, when our mind begins to get renewed, when our heart starts to come alive, we receive forgiveness from the Lord. We accept his mercy. We accept the healing that he wants to bring us in the Holy Spirit, to have a heart that's not troubled and anxious and guilty, feeling, you know, filled with guilt and shame and confusion, but we allow the Lord to take away our burdens. As we read yesterday from the Catechism, quoting Scripture, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus said, that's what I want to give to you. Come to me. I said, really? A light burden? Man, it feels like the weight of the world is on us. He's saying, no, that's exactly what I've come to take from you. Because the weight that Jesus bears is the victory of his life in the presence of the Father. And he wants to give you and me a convincing knowledge, an experiential knowledge of what it means to be a child of God, what it means to already be living in union with him. And no matter what the circumstance, to bear the lovely yoke of the gift of salvation, of the joy of salvation, of the gift of the Holy Spirit animating us with Christian hope, with love, with kindness and gentleness, all that stuff that only the Holy Spirit, the gift stuff, I call it, the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit that he wants to produce in us. It's so beautiful. One of those passages is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23, and chapter 2, verse 6. So here, I just want to read. St. Paul talks about the things God has done for us, and this will lift your heart. These are the kind of things that it'd be good to commit to memory, to be able to internalize, ask the Holy Spirit to make them come alive in you. He's declaring what God has done. And what's most important in how the scriptures begin in many of the New Testament letters, the apostles begin by declaring what God has done for us. And they're celebrating it and they're rejoicing in it. It's more important for us, at least in the primacy of where we ought to start, is with what God has done for us, not what we're supposed to do for God. If we begin with what we're supposed to do for God and we bear it on our own strength, it will crush us. We'll live in discouragement. The enemy will be able to beat us up all along the way and mock us and laugh at us because we're not making the mark. But what we begin with is God's free gifts and the amazing reality and understanding, the light that comes to us when we start to grasp who he is and what he's done for us. So here's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and following, some of the key verses there. Paul's praying that the Father of glory may give to us a revelation in the knowledge of him, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power in us who believe, which he, that is the Father, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He seated him at his right hand. He put all things under his feet, and he gave him the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills us all in all. Paul gives us here a measure of insight into the real measure of God's power that works in his people, and he secures in our hearts all of his promises. It's the power the Father used when he raised Jesus from the dead. How do we connect with the promises of God? How do we come into the place where we can believe that we're children of God and we start to walk in it? A reality that changes us in the way we live, the way we behave, the way we think, and no one can take it away from us. We start living the life of the kingdom now. We start believing that it's already begun. It actually has begun. It's not all just going to come in the end. It's begun now. So he goes on, and there's really five key things that Paul puts his finger on. But he's praying that God would give us a revelation, that grace would open your mind, my mind, our hearts, to the knowledge of him, that we might know it in the biblical way of knowing, and the exceeding greatness of his power that's in us. Man, we got to lay hold of this. Even when our bodies are wasting away, even when we're, you know, sick or battling cancer or sickness and weakness or whatever, maybe we're bedridden even, there's a power in you that's stronger than what you're experiencing around you. You can have amazing strength internally through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, even when our bodies are wasting away. So there's five key things I want to put my finger on here today that Paul shows us in this prayer that he wants us to lay hold of. First, that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. So the first human to triumph over sin and death is the Lord. He's the firstborn of a new creation. God raised him from the dead for our sake, so that through him, he might destroy the devil who had and wielded the power of death. So number one, it's so important for us to see that and see that it's at work in us and own it, accept it, receive it, and celebrate it and give the Lord thanks. Tell the Father, thank you. I believe, Father, that you are my Father, that Jesus has brought me into relationship with you, and it began with you, and it's your idea. And I gladly accept what you've done in me and for me in your beloved Son, Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. Talk to the Father like that, or whatever way, in small ways like that, that you can communicate that you see it, that you're receiving it, that you're walking in it. Number two, the second thing is that the Father not only raised Jesus from the dead, but he seated Jesus at his right hand. The ascension occurred 40 days after the resurrection, and he was seated in the highest governmental position in the entire created order, one that was above the angels, demons, every sphere of God's creative order. Jesus is there at the top, ruling and governing it all. He was put in the position. He's our king. He's directing history right now. He is directing history. Here's an act of faith. Here's a way to exercise real faith, real trust, real hope, is to say, Lord, I know, as St. John Paul II said, that all of this that we're undergoing, this battle, lies within the plans of divine providence. And the victory's already been won. And we're going to stand as a faithful people, and we're going to declare it. We're going to walk in it. We're going to accept it. No matter what the circumstance, we know It's all in his hands. And he'll never give us a trial that's more than what he's giving us grace for, more than we can handle. He put us in this position of living under the kingship of Jesus. And he's causing all things to work for the good for those who love him. That's Romans 8:28. He's our high priest. He's passed into the heavens and he offered his blood and intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7 is a good one to meditate on. Hebrews chapter 8 on some of that stuff. So number one, what Paul's saying and what he's reminding us of is first the Father raised him from the dead. Then the Father seated him at his right hand. Son of God in power now. So beautiful. Number three, the Father put all things under Jesus' feet. The Father's own property, his possessions, you could say. All that was made is under the feet, which means it's under the authority of Jesus. When he returned back to the Father, Psalm 24, open ye gates, let the King of glory come in. He came home. Jesus, you know, the Christ, the eternal Son, second person of the Trinity, took on human flesh. And when he came home, victorious, he came home in human flesh. Jesus, who emptied himself, obedient unto death, he transformed all things. And the Father gave to the Son all authority to a man, to the God-man, one of us, has been given all authority, and Jesus wants to share that with us. He put all things under his feet. That means you, and that means me. And the human heart, full of pride, doesn't want to be put under anyone's foot, doesn't want to submit to anybody, wants to be proud. I'm going my own way. I'm defining reality on my terms. I'm doing what I want to do when I want to do it, and no one's going to tell me what I can and cannot do. That's the human heart. That's human pride. But dominion was given to him that all peoples should serve him. Daniel prophesied of the Lord and of the Messiah. Dominion belongs to the Lord and to no one else. Every human being was made for him, was made by him to serve him. And to serve him is our dignity. It's our glory to be united to the service of the King. The fourth thing Paul puts his finger on, the Father gave Jesus to the church. What belongs to Jesus belongs to his body. The church is the beneficiary of all that Jesus accomplished. He's the head of the body, and the body is formed by the presence of the Spirit that's in all of us. His body is the vehicle through which he expresses the fullness of his power and his purposes upon the earth. Ephesians 1:22, he, the Father, gave him to be head of the church, his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we're part of that. And that's why if we're not awake to it, we miss the grace that's meant to flow through us. And if we're living with Jesus radically, all in, by the Spirit, the church, he makes it happen through us, friends. We just need to give ourselves to it. And finally, the fifth thing Paul puts his finger on is the Father made us sit together in heavenly places by virtue of being united with Jesus. We're already experiencing the life of the kingdom now. We're united to the King. We're united to the family of God. We're united to the saints that are with him in heaven. Everybody who's made it home is a saint. We're united. As we talked earlier this week in the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady's their crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth. She's been brought into glory by her Son. She's been glorified. So have all the saints. They're sharing in the glory of the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's your destiny. Let it ring in you. Let it sing in your heart. Let your mind lay hold of it by the grace of God so you can live in freedom and hope in a world walking in darkness. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.